Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and among the many press releases that come into my inbox, one that caught my eye last week was an announcement of the creation of a Bradley Manning Advocacy Fund. Now, Manning is the U.S. Army private accused of leaking government secrets to WikiLeaks, and I thought, isn't it curious that all the debate around this topic, all the heat, tends to fall on WikiLeaks and Julian Assange when they are really just the recipients of the information? No matter which way you come down on any of this, people seem to have an endless appetite for debating WikiLeaks, while hardly a word is spoken about the guy who allegedly put the information out there for the world to see. As far as we know, Private First Class Bradley E. Manning, who was serving in Iraq, has been held in solitary confinement at the Marine Corps brig in Quantico, Virginia, since May of last year. He has been charged with the unauthorized use and disclosure of U.S. diplomatic cables. The newly created defense fund, besides raising money, is collecting signatures on a letter demanding the conditions of his imprisonment be made less severe. They say he's being held in a status called prevention of injury that is actually harming his health. With us to talk about the rights of the accused leaker, as opposed to WikiLeaks, which is the leakee, is the legendary First Amendment lawyer, Floyd Abrams. Good morning, Floyd. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning. It's nice to be on.
For you as a First Amendment lawyer, does an Army private like Bradley Manning have any freedom of speech when it comes to the kinds of materials he has allegedly leaked to WikiLeaks?
Well, he doesn't have much in the way of legally protected right to disseminate classified information that he obtains in his soldierly role. He may be, depending on one's view of the matter, morally correct. It may be that people should honor him or not, again, depending on their views. But as a legal matter, assuming that he is the source of, we're really talking when you add together the three sort of categories of information that have been attributed, rightly or wrongly, to him, the military reports, the State Department documents, and maybe the documents about the Iraq War. We're talking about 750,000 basically classified documents, and a government employee doesn't have the right, the legal right, to release those documents.
So you think he could be prosecuted and convicted if he did what he's accused of doing?
I think so. I mean, it's one thing to say that one could, I mean, assuming, again, for the moment, assuming that he did it,
right,
it's one thing to say that this is a sort of civil disobedience, but I think his lawyers will find it difficult to come up with a legally sound or persuasive justification for what it looks like he's going to be accused of doing.
I want to play a clip.
All that, of course, has nothing to do with the justification for the conditions under which he's held. But in terms of what he might be accused of,
it's
if he's
another
done
story.
What they say, he did, yeah, he's in trouble.
And I want to get to the conditions in a few minutes. But I want to play first a clip of Daniel Ellsberg on this show defending and identifying with Bradley Manning. Ellsberg, of course, as you well know, leaked the Pentagon Papers regarding the Vietnam War back in the 1970s. And when I asked him if Julian Assange was the new Daniel Ellsberg, he said, no, Bradley Manning is the new Daniel Ellsberg. Listen.
I feel a very great affinity with him. And the when you talk about moral equivalence, people who thought Julian Assange or Bradley Manning is immoral now, people like that certainly found I was immoral at the time, and vice versa. It works away. And with reason. Manning, I see as someone, the first person in 40 years who's been willing, as he said, reportedly to an informant, he was ready to go to prison for life or even be executed, he put it, in order to get this information to the American people. And as he said, to cause worldwide discussion, debate, and reform. And I thought, that's where I was 40 years ago, and I haven't heard anyone say that in the intervening period. So it's natural that people should connect the two.
Daniel Ellsberg on this program a few months ago defending Bradley Manning. We're with First Amendment lawyer Floyd Abrams. And we can open up the phones on this, too. Listeners, we've spent so many segments on this show debating WikiLeaks, various aspects of WikiLeaks. What about Bradley Manning? How sympathetic are you toward the guy, assuming he did it, who allegedly leaked the State Department cables to WikiLeaks, all those cables which have fed news organizations incessantly, especially with what's been going on in the Middle East ever since for like a year now, and who also leaked that original video of U.S. troops in Iraq shooting what turned out to be, at least in part, unarmed people. So are you sympathetic toward Bradley Manning? What do you think should happen to Bradley Manning? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Floyd Abrams, what was your reaction to that clip? From a First Amendment or other legal perspective, is Bradley Manning the new Daniel Ellsberg? Ellsberg never did go to prison.
No, Ellsberg didn't go to prison for a few reasons, but the immediate cause of his not going to prison was the misconduct of the Nixon administration in sending people to break into a psychiatrist's office and a variety of things like that. Now, when Ellsberg did what he did one thing that was very different from Manning. He did not turn over the diplomatic documents that he had. He purposely withheld them from the New York Times because he feared it might interfere with the negotiations to end the war in Vietnam. My own view is that I'm not terribly sympathetic with what Manning has done. I mean, in my view, to turn over in gross documents that diplomats exchanged with each other has a significant potential not only of interfering with the diplomacy, but as we see in Zimbabwe, for example, where the prime minister is now under investigation for treason because of the revelations in one of the WikiLeaks documents. His potential treasonous crime was speaking to the American ambassador basically saying that in secret that you want to continue the sanctions on Robert Mugabe's government there because that's the only way to really bring him down. But I can't say this publicly. Well, okay, he's under investigation for treason now. The Mugabe government may have the first opportunity it's had to get rid of its leading opponent, who seems genuinely, and certainly much more genuinely than Mugabe, to be a pro-democracy force. I consider it reckless as well as illegal to just hand out tens of thousands of internal government documents, whether they're cables within the State Department or military reports.
Although Manning, as far as I know, is not being held for releasing all those State Department cables, correct me if I'm wrong, but for releasing the one very specific video that showed U.S. troops in Iraq killing an unarmed Reuters journalist. Now, that killing may well have been an innocent mistake in the fog of war, but to Manning, it showed overly aggressive rules of engagement that were resulting in needless civilian deaths. And again, he may be right or wrong, but to him, he's blowing the whistle on murderous U.S. government behavior in a wrongheaded war.
And you know, if one were judging simply on that and simply on moral grounds, I think I might honor him for making that sort of information public. Understanding, though, that you know, that may well be criminal, but that's a different issue than really the question, you know, what shall we make of him, you know, and what I make of him in general is someone who rather promiscuously is accused, at least, of rather promiscuously releasing hundreds of thousands of documents, some of which I think we've learned some useful things from. And others of which have been threatening to personal security of some and national security of the country. I mean, I don't think we can, I can't sign on to the notion that it's a good thing, an admirable act, whatever his state of mind was, to simply turn over a wholesale to WikiLeaks or any other outside entity
to dump all this
stuff. Entirety of all these files.
Here's a little more of Ellsberg from the show a couple of months ago, by the way, on the question of going to prison for the act of civil disobedience.
The question arises as to where we see these activities on the scale of violence versus nonviolence. I certainly, for many reasons, come down very strongly on nonviolence. And the people who were jailed not for refusing the draft, but for, say, blowing up, burning down draft boards or ROTCs or whatnot, I did not support at that time or did not refuse.
So his point there, Floyd Abrams, Daniel Ellsberg's point, is that no matter what we may think of the leaking of documents en masse, State Department cables, it's a form of nonviolence.
He's right. It is a form of nonviolence.
Nonviolent resistance.
But it still may have, you know, some harmful consequences. I mean, that's why the question so quickly becomes not one of law. If he did this, any government, however dedicated to freedom of speech, would punish him probably punish him severely.
First Amendment lawyer Floyd Abrams, my guest on WNYC. Let me get a couple of calls in here, too. Louis in Newark, recently retired Marine. Louis?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your service, and thank you for calling.
My pleasure. About this young man that is being held, I don't know the status of what is, current captivity is as far as what he's allowed to do or not. But what I would like to say is this. My entire service in the Marine Corps, at no time did a superior ever tell me to withhold information from any of the Marines that where I was with. At no time did any superior tell me that I didn't have the right of free speech. Right by the contrary. All they ask is that you don't embarrass yourself, your command, or your country. Not to speak about something that you don't know about. This gentleman published something that was obvious. These cables should come out, maybe a little bit edited, but this information needs to come out.
Why?
We should know what it is we're doing overseas and for what and for who.
Louis, thank you. And here's Roy on Roosevelt Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Roy.
Yes, hi. I highly honor the wisdom of our founding fathers in emphasizing the need for freedom of the press and free speech in order to prevent the type of hypocritic behavior that we have demonstrated as a nation internationally in the last decade. And exposing these papers puts the government on call that they had better not say one thing and do another, because there are those people out there who will not our democratic principles were being ignored or worse, aborted.
I understand. So that's why you think it's important to release State Department communiques. What about the fact that they were classified, Roy, that they were secret? Do you think that that means that Manning should go to jail as the consequence for his act of civil disobedience?
No, I think quite the contrary, as we have seen when we've seen what was the content of these articles, they were incorrectly classified, and somebody should be fired for using this necessary device for the protection of those people who are working for our government and are exposed to retaliation for getting information. That classification is for use in those cases, not just to cover up somebody's personal vendetta.
For every little thing. Roy, thank you for your call. And First Amendment lawyer Floyd Abrams, what about that? Some people say that the secret classification was just way overused on these hundreds of thousands of ordinary communiques between U.S. ambassadors and the State Department in Washington, or on the other hand, that if they were available under their secret classification to 500,000 people in the government, which is the number that I've read, then the classification was meaningless anyway.
Well, I think you're right, and he's right to a very considerable degree. That is to say, there is vast overclassification of documents in Washington. It's been a problem for years and years. It continues to be a problem. The fact that something is classified does not in and of itself mean that it is really harmful to national security. I remember under President Nixon, the White House menu was classified. I mean, there's lots of stuff that is over-classified. Now, that said...
You mean if people knew the kinds of things that Richard Nixon liked to eat, he never would have been reelected?
That's it. When you talk about diplomatic documents, there are documents, there are secrets. Diplomats do often speak in secret terms. Now, if what your listener believes is that we really shouldn't have that the level of transparency should be so great that anything that is said by a diplomat, say to a diplomat of a foreign country, ought to be available for publication, I think you'd be cutting in considerably to the ability of diplomats to get business done, serious business, and you know, some things which we think ought to be done. But there are some things which can only be done secretly. And I think if we think the opposite, we're not taking a sort of hard enough view of the world in which we live.
We have about a minute left, and I do want to get to this Manning Defense Fund argument, which seems to be the first and foremost thing on this newly created Bradley Manning Defense Fund agenda, for the government to ease up on the conditions that they're holding him in, this thing called prevention of injury status in solitary confinement, which they say is damaging his health. According to the site, he was being held as a suicide risk for a long time, but is not anymore. And I wonder if you're familiar with a solitary confinement status called prevention of injury.
Well, yeah. I mean, and you know, the idea of it is that would be the only justification, either way, for the treatment that he's getting. If there is some reason, some genuine reason to think that he can hurt himself and is likely to, or would otherwise be harmed, if he were, you know, with other people. I mean, because look, as far as I've read, they don't allow him a pillow. They don't give him sheets. They don't let him do exercise.
And is that because it's military confinement and his crime heinous so they can do that?
They can't or shouldn't do that unless it is true that he requires those sorts of limitations to avoid some sort of harm coming to him. And is there reason for, some suspicion that people are so angry at what they think he's done that he's getting a much tougher treatment than he deserves? Yes, I think there is. It certainly is something which has to be looked into, because there are a great number of, you know, credible sources who are expressing doubt about the legitimacy of the conditions in which he's being held.
All right. And there we leave it. For those of you interested in the Bradley Manning Defense Fund, it's newly created. You can look it up online. It's affiliated with the Fire Dog Lake website. And we thank Floyd Abrams,
First Amendment lawyer,
visiting professor of First Amendment law at the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism at Columbia University. Floyd, thank you very much. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Much more to come. Stay with us.